Can we just close our eyes? Open your hands. It's a posture to receive. It's in a moment of silence. I want you all in your own hearts. Holy Spirit, speak to me. Joey said, Lord, what can we bring? What can I give? What can I give you, Lord? But as I open my heart, Lord, speak clearly to me right now. Lord, we always think of messages, oh, this is not for me, so the guy next to me. But Lord, I've come here with a posture this evening to receive, to be a doer of your word, not only a hearer. So I'm going to wait on you right now, in silence. Search my heart, Lord. Search my heart. Amen. Amen. So tonight, if you're making notes, title of the preach is called Building for Eternity. Building for Eternity. And it resonates with Dion's word that we're going into a season of change. And sometimes the changes are going to be subtle as the winds blow, or the Holy Spirit moves amongst us. And there is a freshness or a newness coming, and it's going to be the gentleness. And you'll see this is part of a jigsaw puzzle in what God has prepared in the message which I'm getting, and one of the keys as to how we're going to build and how things are going to look going forward. And I'd like to mention, you know, a couple of weeks ago, probably 3-4 weeks ago, we had an elders meeting, but it was only for men. And Andrew gave the opportunity to Will Murray to share. Now, at that stage, I think the doctors gave Will 2 months to live because of his cancer. So Will stood up here, not knowing what the results of the chemo tests, the cancer test and everything was going to be. And he gave one of the most heartfelt preaches that I've ever heard. And I thank the Lord that the women weren't here. Because the men were crying. And if the men were crying, I think some of the ladies would have been hysterical. Just the emotion that we felt in that meeting. The genuineness, the openness, the sensitivity of his heart. But he said something which was quite profound. He says, our lives will soon pass, but that which we do for Jesus will last through eternity. Our lives will soon pass, but that which we do for Jesus would last through to eternity. So what we're going to do is read a scripture, and then we're just going to break it down a little bit. So if you're taking notes, you open your Bible on your cell phone or in your genuine Bible. I saw Phil had a genuine Bible, yeah? I'm impressed, Phil. It has got big letters. Joe and myself got the big letters. Okay, we're going to read out of Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 29. And some of you guys will know this parable. You've heard it 1,000 times. And oh man, here we go again. But I really believe that it's a word for us in season right now. So if you can just stick it on the board for me. It starts off, everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house. But it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as their scribes. So this passage came after he started the Sermon on the Mount in chapter 6. And he spoke about the Beatitudes, and after the Beatitudes, he spoke about how important it is for each one of us to be the salt of the earth. You know, as Christians, we need to have, you know, salt always adds flavor to something. You know, if you add salt, it does something to the food. It makes it tasty. Who's from England over here? Nobody? Because if you go to England, if you are from England, you go to England, you eat their food, it's so bland, it's terrible, because they don't know how to use salt or seasoning. It's just terrible. But Jesus says the same thing about you and I. He says you need to be salt. And if salt loses saltiness, it gets thrown into the road. You know, they use it to melt the snow, whatever the case is. He then goes on and he tells the Jews that Jesus himself is the fulfillment of the law. Now, they're waiting for something or somebody, or they're just following the Jewish traditions. But he says, no, I am the fulfillment of the law. And then he goes on to speaking about divorce. And he says, you know, in the Old Testament, you guys could just write a letter and say to, like Jacques could say to Jeanette, he has a letter, we divorced, bye-bye, you're out of here. But interestingly, these days in South Africa, men, listen carefully. You're now allowed to marry more than five wives. Who's going to marry five wives? Geez, one's hard enough, eh? Never have five. I love my Boki. She's the best thing since peanut butter sandwiches. You are, eh? She turned 70 a week ago. I can't believe it. And I'm sleeping next to her grandma. Still dancing, supping, running 6Ks. I don't know. Jeez. I always say, you know, she says she's going to live a long life. She wants to live to about 100 years old. I'm saying, Lord, please beam me up long before that. Because I don't want to change her nappies. I don't want to be the person brushing her teeth. I don't want to be walking behind her with a walker. I want to go long before then. No, you're not going to run. You're going to be like, oh. Anyway, then he also gives a teaching on how we should pray properly. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. He said, it's so simple to pray. You know, you're acknowledging the glory of the Father. And then he goes on to say how we should fast. You know, when you fast, put oil on your hair like slick and look normal, shaved and everything. Don't go around there looking all dreary and upset because you're fasting. I'm so hungry. You know, I haven't eaten. I haven't had coffee all day. Oh, my hands are shaking. Now, you've got to look smooth like me. And then, you know, fasting needs to look like that. And then he goes on and says that God, our Father, is concerned about our well-being. And then in chapter 7, he says, we should not judge our neighbors. And you know, so easily for us today to judge our neighbors. Well, look what they're doing. Look what he's doing. Look what she's doing, you know. And he says, don't judge your neighbors. That's up to God. He will judge them. And then finally, he goes back to teaching on prayer. And then he also warns us about being aware of false teachers. Now, I can tell you today that there are many false teachers around. Many, many false teachers. Go on to Google and I'll tell you all kinds of things. You know, 70%, if you go on Google tithing, 70% of the people on Google tell you why tithing is not allowed. And 70% of Christians in America believe that Jesus did sin. So things are getting out of hand at the moment. The Bible has just been declared illegal in the state of California because it holds hate speech in it. And Amazon are now considering banning selling the Bible because it contains hate speech. That is where we're going at the moment with religion. But so there are many false teachers, you know, that will tell you different things. But this entire sermon, which I just read, you can summarize it in 4 points. If you're taking notes, you can just write these down quickly. The first point is that we are all building. We are all building. Whether you know it or not, you are building. The second point is that the buildings will be built or set on a foundation. The third point is your foundation that you're building on will be tried. It will be tested. And then finally, there's only one foundation that's going to stand. Now, you saw this building going up over here, and you saw them digging big trenches, and they loaded it with iron, piping, steel pipes, whatever it is, and they filled it with concrete before they started building the bricks on. So that's, even this building, if you see it at the moment, you cannot see the foundations which this building has been built on. But we're all building, and we're all building on a foundation. But now there are two types of builders which Jesus referred to here. Firstly, he starts off in verses 21 to 23. Just stick that back on the board for me. He says that not everyone is everyone over here. Is there anybody that's not included in everyone over here? So nobody is excluded from the everyone. So it's very important that I highlight that to you, because it's you and it's me and it's the person next to you. You can say to the person next to you, everyone. And he uses this information to weigh up the difference between the wise and the foolish builder. So amongst us, there are some wise builders and there are some foolish builders. And I'm not going to ask you to say to the person next to you, you're a foolish builder, because you could get a clap. But you see, the point is with this, that two men set out to deliberately build a building. And one of the men was wise. He took his time and he thought about it. He thought about the foundation that he had to dig and what he had to build on. And the other one just said, look, I've got to build a house, because I need a roof over my head, and it's very important that I build this. Now, our neighbors down in Dunoon, as you know, they jumped across the road and they're now moving towards Parklands, and they've come to the river, and some of them have shot over the river. Now, that suburb of Dunoon is called Sisuzwe. I hope I've got the pronouncing right. It's something like that, Sisuzwe. Now, some of them have built very close to the river. And when the rain comes and the floods came, as they are and as they will during winter, guess what happens? They built their shacks over the 100-year flood line. Now, when the river comes down, hundreds of these little homes, these little corrugated homes, get washed away with all their possessions, with all their belongings. They are foolish builders, because they didn't think where they should build their houses. They didn't think about the foundation. They didn't think about the flood line. They just went and built a shack in a place where they shouldn't have built it. They are foolish builders. Versus the guys that said, well, hang on, if we build too close to the river, we might lose a home. Let's go back a little bit higher, a little bit higher, and there we're going to be protected. See, they gave it some consideration. But some people are just so desperate. They just want to build a house. I need a roof over my head. The one plans, and the other one is haphazard. And in Luke chapter 6, 47 to 49, let's read that. Everyone who comes to me and hears my words. Now, this is very important. We're all hearing God's word now. And does them. Underline that. And does them. A lot of us love hearing God's word. Joey said as well. You know, a lot of you come here to receive. But what are you going to give? We love hearing God's word. But we need to be doers of God's word. I will show you what he's like. He's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when a flood rose, the stream broke against that house and could not shake it, because it had been built well. But the one who hears, we're all hearing, and does not do them is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. We're all builders. Some of us are building on a good foundation, some of us are not. When the stream broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. So it's not so much that the foolish man actually believes that the sand is a better foundation to build on. It's just that he gives no thought to the importance of where you should build. I'm absolutely astonished and amazed that none of our squatters, the people that are moving across into Sisuzwe, the nine into Parklands, that none of them have chosen the prime property in Bloberg and Table View on the beach. Have you wondered why? Now, storms are going to come, they're built on sea sand, and the tides are going to come, and everything is going to be washed away. But that's the way some of us build. Because we want the best things in life. We want the best views. We want the best opportunities. And I'll go into that a little bit later. Now, we always say, just as long as I've got a roof over my head, I'm going to be all right. Now, I'll give you a couple of practical examples. So I'll talk about a teenager, firstly. You think about a teenager, she wants to be part, or he wants to be part of the crowd. And they just want to do what everybody else is doing. So we're going to go out partying, we're going to go out drinking, we're going to do drugs, and we're going to go do rock and roll and everything that youngsters do at the moment. I just want to be part of the crowd. See, she's choosing the wrong foundation. As opposed to a teenager who's sitting here saying, Lord, I want to build well. I want to focus on what is right or righteous. I want to build the right house on the right foundation. I want to live a good life, an honorable life, a righteous life, because this is only the beginning of my life that's to come. Now, many of us think, look, I've got lots of time to live. I don't have to make a decision how to build and where to build right now, because one day I will start building correctly. So the young man that I used to meet with, every Thursday morning at 7 o'clock for 2 years, he was accountable to me. And we used to have a breakfast together, sitting in Kolkata's down the road. And he used to say to me, Kim, when I turn 40, I would have made enough money in the business that I'm in. I will then stop doing it, and I will serve the Lord from 40 years old. Guess what that man's doing at the moment? Making more money. He turned 40 not so long ago, but he's a good guy. I love him too, but you see, he's building on the wrong foundation. Let's look at another parallel or an example from an adult perspective. We might say, okay, I need to choose a lifelong spouse, a husband or a wife. Oh, that person over there, Donna. I mean, she's a cracking looking girl. She's the life of the party. I mean, she just like, she can move and, you know, all the guys fancy her. Now, she's the girl that I want to marry. Versus, let's say, Laureen. She's quiet, conservative. She just sits in the background. She's righteous. She comes to church every Sunday. She's got no moves. She's just like part of the crowd. See, most of the guys have got Donna. Yeah, yeah. But no, but you know, they say still waters run deep. Now my wife can move. I mean, at 70, I can't believe how she moves. She puts me to shame. I saw a video of her the other day doing Zumba, and I thought, what are you doing? You're 70 years old. And then the next day there, she was up supping. I can't even sup. Anyway, so sometimes we have to choose somebody that's decent, that's quiet, and also religious. Say, listen, we were talking to a young lady over supper the other night, and we had a group of people around, and four or five ladies reminded, and she was young, what, she's 22 years old. And we said to her, so when are you going to get married? She said, she's got this list. Oh, yeah, everybody, uh-oh. But the amazing thing is, she said, I want to marry a godly man. I want to marry a pastor. That's what I said. Uh-oh. You don't know what work you've got ahead of you. But just that heart, you know, that says, I've never kissed a boy. I think she kissed a boy when she was about 9 or 10. That was the last time. And it was a dare. And it was like one of those kisses. Not stick your tongue down your throat job. And she felt guilty about it. She confessed it to her mom. I think she's repented to God about 1,000 times as a result of that. But you see, her heart is in the right place in terms of the foundation which she wants to build on. She says, no, I want to marry a godly man, a man who knows God, a man who loves God, a man who honors God, is going to lead me in a godly fashion. As opposed to just the most good-looking guy. And I think she's met that guy, and he happens to be a community leader at the moment, and he's a godly man, and I think he's starting to become a pastor, which is amazing. And sometimes we could build a foundation based on our children. No, our children are so important that they actually rule and reign in our home. So I met this guy in the gym, and he was from Johannesburg. He was such a cool guy. I shared my testimony with him, and he got saved, and there was leadership on this guy. Absolutely amazing. I could say like this, Lee, you're going to be an elder. This guy, Wayne, you're going to be an elder. I could see it as broad as daylight that this guy was going to be an elder. So he started pulling into church in Edgemead, him and his family, and it was great. And everybody said, there's something different about this guy. He's amazing. There's something about him. Wayne, he was a shaker and a mover, Joburg boy, and he was on fire for God and everything. And he came for about 3 months, and after 3 months, we never saw him. Never saw him. And one day he walked past our house, and I ran downstairs, and I said, well, hey, where have you been? Oh, I've missed you, man. Where have you been? He says, no, all his kids go to the View. His kids' friends go to the View, and so they've decided to go to the View as well. So they are leading their parents. It's not the parents being the priest, the leader, and the father of the home. No, the kids are actually dictating and determining where they should do and what they should do. And that is building on the wrong foundation. We are the priesthood of believers. We need to determine what our kids should be doing. We should be raising our kids up with godly standards. Not our kids telling us what to do. You see, the real meaning of this parable is eternal and it's timeless. It has to do with your soul and your next life. Let's just look at verses 24 and 26. Everyone then who hears the words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house in the sand. See, you're a builder both in this life and the next life. Now, this life, with the exception of Laureen, is about this long. It's about 85. Laureen's going to be there, 100. But eternity is like from here to there. Who can measure how far east is from west? Anybody? You'll never get there. I'm heading off from east to west, and I'm going to walk and walk, and I'm going to fly and I fly, and I'll never reach west. Eternity is forever and ever and ever. But our lives are this long. It's like you're buying a beautiful daffodil or tulip. And today it looks gorgeous. The petals are glorious and beautiful. And you wake up in the morning and they're dead. That is our lives. You wake up in the morning and you're dead. In verse 25 and 27, it says, the rain fell and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and great was the fall of it. You see, both houses that were built, faced the same tests. The winds blew, the storms came, the rains came, the river came, and there went all the shacks. Faced the same tests as your house and their houses do. It's not the material of the building that mattered. It doesn't matter about these bricks. Now, you all know the story about this building. Most of you do know it. They built the foundations, they lay the concrete slab, and that was kosher. And then they started doing the brickwork, and I think they got up to roof height, halfway to roof height, Phil, I don't know, somewhere around there. And they realized that the cement that they're using had the wrong mixture. So if you leaned against the wall, the whole building would have fallen over because they're using the wrong mixture. And that is what some of us are doing. We're using the wrong mixture in terms of the way we're building. We think that's just about getting a wall up. No, but if you don't use the right cement with the right mixture, the walls will not stay standing. And I need to ask you this very important question. Have you confused the building material of your life with a foundation? Have you confused the building material with the foundation? Now, some of us will say, yeah, actually, Kim, I think I've done well. You know, I've been baptized. I signed up into church membership. I go to community, and I'm living a good moral life. All good things. These are building material, but they're not the foundation. Now, that might be shocking to you. So, whoa, hang on, where are you going with this? Those are the building materials. That's not the foundation. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. Very important scripture. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. There's only one foundation that we can build on, ladies and gentlemen, friends and family, and that is Jesus Christ. You can't build on any other foundation. There is no other foundation but Jesus. If you think you're going to build on Buddha, Allah, or your own house, you're building wrong. That house will face the storms. That house will collapse. There are two foundations we know from 1 Corinthians. And God looks upon Jesus as the only firm foundation. He doesn't look at his church. He doesn't look at the laws of life. He doesn't look at you trying to duplicate Jesus' character or the best you can be or your sincerity. In John 3:36, it says this: whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. See, whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life. We read early on, you know, don't only be hearers of God's word, you have to be doers of God's word. So now you've established the foundation that it's Jesus. Now I've got to start listening and doing what he's asked me to do. You know, Joey stood up there and he said, hey guys, come on, you need to give more. 10 minutes, give more. The word of God, I want to give everything. I'm going to be sold out for Jesus. Otherwise, we're going to face the wrath of God. Now let's consider the storms that came. That's very important. We often think, you know, I'm going through a storm at the moment. You know, I've lost my job, or you know, the rent's gone up, electricity's gone up, the rates and taxes have gone up, petrol's gone up. Everything's going up excepting me. I'm still short. COVID. I mean, that's a storm of life. I mean, it's set us back. It's a strategy of the enemy to silence the church. I mean, what a storm has this church faced. But you know what? God is bigger than COVID. We are healthy. We are alive. You know that we have close to 6,000 members in Joshua Generation. We had one person that was looking in, wanting to become a member in Joshua Generation in Hartenbosch that passed away, out of 6,000 people. Just last week, in a church in Friedendal, in her church in Friedendal, 9 people died in 1 week. But we sit here and say, God is bigger than COVID. Because Jesus is our foundation. I'm not saying that they didn't build correctly. They might have been reckless. He's talking about that last section of that verse that I read, God's wrath. And sometimes we lose perspective of God's wrath. Now, I remember as a young boy, we had an amazing plantation of peach trees and apricot trees in our backyard. We must have had about 24 peach trees and about, I don't know, 6, 12 apricot trees, full of fruit. Our neighbors behind us, they had 3 peach trees. Those peaches always look better than the peaches on our tree. So we had a black plastic pipe, which was about a 50 mil or 100 mil pipe. I remember it had a little bit of a curve in it. And we used to stick this pipe through the fence and get the peach that just fitted inside that pipe, and we used to wriggle it. And the peach came rolling down the pipe. And we caught it on our side of the fence and we ate those peaches. I want to tell you, stolen peaches are the best tasting peaches you've ever had. And we had a whole plantation of peaches, but these peaches were amazing. Until my mom caught us doing it. I'm going to tell your dad. The fear of God entered into my life. You know, the interesting thing is, recently I've been touched by the Holy Spirit and I can feel his manifestation. I start shaking like a leaf. It's absolutely amazing. Those days I was shaking. I never knew the Holy Spirit. But I was tearing, my knees were going like this because I knew my dad was going to, in Afrikaans, I think they called it thunder. He was really going to thunder me. He was going to clap the living daylight out of me. And I was so afraid that I didn't want my dad to come home because I knew he would clap me from one side of the house to the other side of the house and back again. He brought me into this life. He said, and I'll take you out of this life as well. I put myself when my dad came home because I knew I was going to get a thrashing of my life. We should have the same fear, if not worse, of we building on the wrong foundation, which is not Jesus, and God's wrath or anger comes against us. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 13 to 15. Each one's work will become manifest. So the things that you're building right now in your life will become manifest. In other words, God's going to see it. He's going to watch it. For the day will disclose it because it will be revealed by fire. So everything that you are building is going to be tested by fire. And then he goes on, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. Oh Lord, let the work that I'm doing right now be rewarded. I don't want to claim any credit for the responsibilities which I have at the moment. I look at what Andrew has given me to do. Look after 36 congregations, looking after the ministries, looking after the buildings, looking after nearly everything. And I just say to myself, Lord, I'm not worthy. I'm a worm. But you've entrusted me with this. Lord, may I receive guidance and be surrounded by people that will help me do what Andrew and you, Lord, have entrusted me to do. Because really, I'm just a rotten sinner that doesn't deserve anything. Then it goes on to say, if anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. Now you could be building. Jesus is your foundation, but now you're using the wrong building material. Your work is going to be tested, and you'll make it into heaven, but you'll smell like a briar flesh. There'll be smoke on your behind. And it's not gas, it's smoke from escaping the flames of Lauren's raising her eyebrows. Sorry, Lauren, I shouldn't have said that. But you're really going to come out there smelling like a barbecue because you just made it into heaven because the work that you have been doing has been burnt up. Say, I'm doing it for Jesus. No, you were doing it for yourself. Oh, I'm doing it this. No, you're doing it out of pride so somebody else could see what you're doing. And I'm trusting that God's convicting some of us right now. Have you been building for Him? Or have you been building for yourself? Or for man? This is arguably, to me, one of the most frightening scriptures in the New Testament. Chapter 7, verses 21 to 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven. We're talking about each other here. Christians, saints, believers. But the one who does the will of my Father, who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And cast out demons in your name? And do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Oh, mate. How many of us have prayed for miracles and seen them? How many have driven out demons? How many of us have done things and walked away? And so, I remember the first time I thought I was like the man of the hour. Filled with the Spirit, I came and I stood and I prayed for somebody, fell over, and I prayed for the next guy, he fell over, and I prayed for the third guy, he fell over, and I thought, hey, I'm the guy filled with the power of the Spirit. The next Sunday I came and I stood there and I was praying. I was staring at me like this, like, what's going on? Nothing happened. I'm like, try again. Nothing happened. You see, because I was doing it for myself, I was not doing it for Him. I was more worried about the power that I had As opposed to, and that work is the work which is going to be burnt up. Because I didn't build on behalf of the foundation, Jesus, and using him as my cornerstone. So what are the results of all of this? The greatest decision that you can make tonight doesn't concern this life at all. It doesn't. It concerns the life to come. You can say, no, I'm going to build. You know, actually, where I am at the moment, looking at you guys, young, just got married, we're going to have kids, white picket fence, we're going to have a dog or two running around. They're going to grow and watch our grandchildren. It's going to be awesome. We're just going to have a lack of life and a nice job and everything. Wrong building. Wrong building stones. Wrong roof. We need to start building for what's going to matter in eternity. There's going to be some people that are sitting at the back there, like Francois sitting there at the back. Some old lady or some young lady sitting in the back with the arm folders, out of the profile, out of the spotlight, praying, interceding, worshiping God during a quiet time, during the day, just sort of Gavin, just pray for him. Lord, help him. Just equip him. Walk with him. And praying. And then one day we're all standing in heaven, and he's going to say to that old lady, Martha, come to the front. And all the people are going to get up and cheer for her. And she's going to receive this crown, this beautiful crown, filled with gems. He says, well done, my good and faithful servant. You will receive treasures that nobody else will receive. And some of us pastors will be standing there, Lord, that should be mine. I've done all this work. I've been working so hard for your kingdom. 24/7, I've been running. What am I getting? He says, no, you've been building on the wrong foundation. You've been using the wrong building materials. You weren't building for me. You're building for yourself. You're looking for the affection of man and the recognition of man. So we need to start building for eternity. You're going to spend a long time in eternity if you make it there. You're only going to spend 80, 90, maybe 100 years. So many people, and even maybe one or two of you, I know I met one of these beautiful visitors sitting here early on. I said I wouldn't call it out, but I won't call it out. You see, many people won't make Jesus the foundation of their lives because there are certain things in their lives that are more important. To them, money is more important. Fun is more important. Friends are more important. Having a nice car is more important. A house, even having a home, is more important than building for eternity. So what things in your life, if taken away from you right now, would make your life worth living? If everything was taken away from you right now, you could go into a state of depression. You go, I'm just going to give up. Everything that I ever owned was removed from me. I can't live anymore. I can't. Or you're going to say, if everything is taken away from me, I still have Jesus, the cornerstone, the foundation of my building. Blessed be your name. He gives and he takes away. He gives and he takes away. See, if we don't build with the right foundation, your foundation will crumble. It will crumble. It's going to be tested. And you would have built in vain. I hate or dislike for any one of you to have said or be part of that statement that says, and great was the fall of it. Because if your house falls, it will be doomed forever. And when Jesus finished these sayings in verses 28-29, he said, the crowds were astonished at these teachings, for his teaching them was one who had authority and not as their scribes. So many people don't accept Jesus. Many people doubt Jesus. Many people don't know Jesus. Many people will only ever be exposed to Jesus through who you are. You heard this old fridge magnet saying, only Bible people will read is you. And to a degree, that's true, because if you're not reflecting the light of Jesus Christ in you, if you're not representing the salt of who Jesus is, how will they ever know who Jesus is? I'd like to end this with a little scripture which you all know. It's not on the board. I didn't give it to them. In each one of us, if we're going to build on the right foundation, what is the one command besides love your neighbor as you love yourself and, you know, love the Lord your God with all your might, all your strength? What is our commission, the great commission that God has given us? Go. He says, all power has been given to me. Go into the nations and make disciples of all people, baptizing them in the name of the Father, in the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We don't go out there with a spirit of timidity, with fear, anxiety. No, no, we go out with a spirit of courage and boldness, and we start talking about Jesus. We start sharing what Jesus has done in my life. Because now you start building for eternity. You cannot take your possessions in a Fender trailer to heaven. But you can take souls with you to heaven. Wouldn't it be wonderful one day you're up on the stage and Jesus is standing in front of you and behind you is a whole string of people that you've witnessed to and they committed their lives to the Lord, and Jesus is going to say to you, well done, my good and faithful servant. You used the delegated power that I've given you to bring people into the kingdom. Or you're going to get there and say, oh Lord, I was just so shy, timid. I know you did a big work in my life. I used to be like that, but now I'm like this. Lord, I did prophesy in your name. I did cast out demons in your name. Now he wants you to get out of these chairs and say, Lord, I want to build for eternity, man. Because when I'm in eternity, the new world, I'll be ruling and reigning. You know, greater authority than the angels in heaven will have. I'm looking forward to eternity. I don't know about you guys. You know, when I get to eternity, one of the promises that Jesus made is that I'll get a new glorious body. I can't wait for that glorious body. I'm going to be tall, dark, and handsome like Joey. Not short and gray. No more tears. No more pain. No issues. Don't have to worry about politics. Don't have to worry about a corrupt government. A world that's falling apart. You know, storms and all kinds of rubbish that's happening around us. A new glorious life. I can't wait. Death has lost its sting over me.